Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Civil rights and social justice movements are often accompanied by a soundtrack. "We Shall Overcome" was heard frequently in the civil rights marches in the late 1960s. Vietnam War protests produced such songs as "Ohio" by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, or Marvin Gaye's "What's Going On." Around that same time, another movement was gaining traction, particularly in the southwestern border states, the farm worker movement. Up to California. Mexico, you come to the Sacramento Valley to toil in the sun. The documentary A Song for Cesar explores the legacy of Cesar Chavez and the farm worker movement through music, theater, and art. The film was edited and produced by musician and activist Abel Sanchez and film editor and activist Andres Alegría. Abel Sanchez says the film originated from a song he wrote with the late Jorge Santana, Carlos's brother.
It wasn't intended at the time to do a film, but we get so much great response from the song. They're saying, well, you should do a, you know, like a video to this. And that's how I met Andres Alegría. From there, we collaborated on a little six-minute piece, which was a pilot and just an idea for the Cesar Chavez Foundation to use to teach an audience and younger generations about the farm worker movement and that legacy. After that, we got many suggestions to do a full documentary, and that's where our journey began. I connected with Andres to see if he wanted to do that, and then we just put our ideas together and said, okay, let's go for it. And we started writing and having interviews and producing and co-writing, co-directing, doing the whole thing.
Did you know Cesar Chavez, Abel?
No, I didn't. Not personally. I crossed paths with him, you know, a couple of times back in the day when he was doing benefits. The foundation and UFW basically was doing benefits for Cesar to raise money for the union and for the campaign. And we just crossed paths at these concerts where bands were playing to support the union and benefits to raise money so Cesar and the union could do their thing and reach a lot of people. So pay expenses and whatever, you know, all the funds they needed. So that's how I crossed paths with them back in the day.
Andres Abel's telling us that, you know, the whole idea of the film began with a song and then you sort of expanded outwards and really got some amazing contributions from some very famous musicians, some very famous bands that a lot of people who may not have been familiar with the movement were involved in the movement. So can you tell us a little bit about that process?
You know, you had asked Abel about whether he had met Cesar back in the day. And around the same time in the early 70s, mid 70s, I was working in radio, doing bilingual radio broadcasts in the San Francisco Bay Area with a group of people. And we were covering a lot of different issues having to do with Chicano issues, Latino issues, Latin America, local community issues, etc. And one of them was the farm workers movement. So we interviewed Cesar and we covered the benefits that were taking place throughout California in support of the farm workers, benefits that these bands that you see in the film, Tower of Power, you know, Malo, et cetera, that they were donating their time to help support the farm workers in these benefits. So when we decided to make the film, Abel and I discussed it a lot, and we realized that films had been made about the farm workers before, great documentaries, and about Cesar as well. And so we were not going to do that because it would just be repeating what had already been done. But what had not been done was telling the story of the farm workers movement and of Cesar Chavez through the arts, which were such an important part of the movement, as you see in the film, both music, graphic arts, painting, theater, etc. So, you know, essentially that's how the idea evolved. And once we got into production, then Abel's resources, his connections with the music people, my connections with people that I had worked with before, they started making the interviews clear. In other words, who we needed to talk to tell this story.
Abel, Andres was just talking about how the arts was inspired by this movement. And I think a lot of social movements and civil rights movements, they all have music associated with them in some sense. And I think, you know, the fact that this is coming sort of right around Vietnam or post the Vietnam era, that's when really the protest songs became a part of pop culture. And it almost seems like in its own manner, the farm workers movement also sort of created its own musical movement. And there was a really great quote sort of towards the beginning of the movie. I don't remember who said it, but somebody says, "Beware of a movement that sings." And I think what's really unique about this particular movement is that it wasn't just musicians who were performing music, performing protest music, but it was also the protesters. They weren't just chanting. They were also singing songs.
That's correct. You know, we're just repeating the story of social movements and how important music is to every social movement. Like you say, it became part of my DNA, being part of that era. Like you say, the protests of Vietnam and my early writings even goes back to my first CD I put together as an album with Fantasy Records. And I look back and I can see how I was already influenced by all those major protests and movements. They were about that. They were already about addressing the conditions, you know, and protesting against things that maybe were not correct politically or just in a human way. So I guess my DNA started there, you know, I didn't realize. And so it just kind of grew. So this was like an easy fit because then I experienced seeing my own Chicano roots. And next thing I know, you know, it stayed with me for all the years I've been in music, basically.
Andres, Cesar Chavez and the farm worker movement, they didn't just inspire music. They also, as you brought up earlier, inspired art, inspired theater. You have Malaquias Montoya on here talking about his art. You also have Chich Marin talking about the interest in art that grew out of the movement. Chich Marin, one of the biggest collectors of Mexican-American art in the world.
Artists are naturally drawn to those causes that are pure. They're naturally drawn to them, and they're, whether they're writers or they're musicians or they're actors or they're poets or they're painters.
Theater, Teatro Campesino, grew out of this particular movement. It was theater by and for the farm workers.
We as artists had a purpose, and that purpose was to be faithful to its audience and to bring our stories, our theater, our plays, our music to the people, because that's where it belonged.
Can you talk a little bit about the impression that the movement had on the greater arts?
I think it's important to remember the times. This is the late 60s and early 70s. And it was following the labor movements in this country of the earlier part of the 1900s and then the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. And with the strength and the visibility of the farmworkers movement that CESAD was able to achieve, not just in the U.S., but internationally, this sparked a real renaissance among Chicanos in this country. It created an awareness in the Chicano movement of cultural backgrounds, of value, of worth, of importance. And as Malaquias says, in the film so clearly and so well, it was by observing what the farm workers were doing and what Cesar was doing that he suddenly realized that he was more than just a young kid that worked in the fields. He was more than just a farm worker, that he had this artistic drive in him that he could develop and grow and use and turn into artistic expression.
I saw this little giant of a man walking and leading thousands of people. What that did for me, especially, and others, was like it lifted tons of weight off of my back. All of a sudden, it gave me a freedom. It gave me a freedom to speak through my work about those injustices that I had felt when I was growing up.
And I think that was across the board, whether it was in art or in music or in theater or in writing. There was a self-awareness among Chicanos that grew into artistic expression. And the theater in particular, I think, was a clear example of that, of how people who were, you know, experiencing these daily realities in the farm worker movement, and remember, Teatro Campesino were primarily all farm workers involved in that process. They used their artistic abilities and their artistic expression to give voice to the realities that they were living every day. And, you know, the Teatro Campesino inspired theater groups and theater movement throughout the Southwest. Yes, it was all integrated, I think, very closely.
Andres Alegría and Abel Sanchez are co-writers and co-producers of the documentary A Song for César. When we come back, musicians like Joel Rafael wrote songs like Bracero because they were deeply touched by the farm workers' movement.
And he really talks about, as a songwriter, that's his duty. And most of the songwriters approach it the same way because it's something that came from their heart and their spirit.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The founder of the Teatro Campesino, Luis Valdez, says in the documentary A Song for César, "Beware a movement that sings." The farm worker movement sang. The songs and art that inspired and were inspired by the movement are featured in the film A Song for César. It was co-written and co-produced by musician Abel Sanchez and film editor Andres Alegría. Their collective connections in the industry make this film a who's who of musicians and artists. A Song for César will be screened next Tuesday, March 21st at 6 p.m. Central at San Antonio's Trinity University. Abel Sanchez says one of the special guests at the screening is a Texas musician who was recently honored as a National Heritage Fellow by the National Endowment for the Arts.
At the screening we're doing in San Antonio, we're really blessed to have as a guest also Little Joe Hernandez from Little Joe and La Familia, who wrote Las Nubes, which is one of the farm worker songs. It was like their anthem for many years, you know, still is, you know, a beautiful song. He was a cotton picker as a young child, so he knew the roots and the history. He lived it, so that was another reason he had quite an affinity for the movement.
A friend of mine, a trumpet player, Luis Gasca, asked me if I knew or had heard of Cesar Chavez, and I hadn't at the time, and he told me who he was and what Cesar was doing. Myself being a migrant worker, field worker, picking cotton, chopping cotton, doing the field work, I was really intrigued about it, and I quickly wanted to be part of the cause, you know, just wanted to see what I could do to support. I'm honored and happy to say that it became a lifelong friendship.
And his music and his whole life is dedicated in many ways to helping the farm workers to this day.
Well, Abel, I wanted to ask you that Cesar Chavez and the farm workers movement kind of helped center many Latinos to help sort of find their identities, to kind of figure out the space that they held in the world. But Chavez and the movement also inspired people who weren't Latinos. There are a lot of people in this documentary, people like Chris Christopherson.
I identified with the farm workers because of where I grew up. As soon as I knew that it was Caesar and that it was for the farm workers, I was committed.
People like Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills and Nash, Taj Mahal, blues singer, they were all equally and greatly inspired by Chavez and his work.
That's correct. I think it's the universal cry, you know, of people that are on the margins or underserved or not as well served and taken care of. And I think that's so it's a universal cry.
I think that also many of the artists, including the ones you mentioned, they respected Cesar Chavez and the farmworkers movement for their grounding in nonviolence. That was one of the main reasons that they felt such a close affinity to Cesar and respected him so much and the farmworkers.
And there are also, Abel, some really beautiful pieces of music in this work that are remembrances of many farm workers who died tragically, either killed by police or killed in a plane crash or killed in a truck accident. Their names are lost to history, essentially. But these songs, songs like Deportee,
the crops are all in.
Those songs, they're sort of landmarks of history. And so it was really fantastic to use these pieces of music and the artists who performed them originally to sort of reinterpret them for the film.
That's correct. Yeah, that one person very important in that manner was Joel Rafael. And he did the song Bracero. It's in the film.
The paper said, bring the Mexicans in 1942. Men have left the fields for the war, and there's too much work to do. North came El Bracero to work the fields and grow the food for the troops, the allies, and the nation. Truly a part of the greatest generation.
And he really talks about, as a songwriter, that's his duty. And most of the songwriters approach it the same way, because it's something that came from their heart and their spirit, and they wanted to acknowledge and remember, so those folks are remembered.
This is a song for El Bracero.
I was kind of disappointed that Joan Baez didn't sing her song Juan de la Cruz. Instead, she sort of read the lyrics to the song.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she never recorded that song.
Oh.
And she actually never turned it into a song. When we interviewed her, we didn't know about this, and she had brought the page with the lyrics to that she had written for Juan de la Cruz. She said, I have these lyrics. I never turned it into a song. I never recorded it, but here they are.
Once again, the workers rise with the lark. There's a mass going on in the People's Park. Silent and determined, they set to embark on a three-day fast and a five-mile march. For a man's been shot on the picket line, 60 years of strength, was young for dying. His family is here with eyes of red, his wife steps down with feet of lead. And the sun shines down upon the old man whose days are done. For a martyr has been taken, he's old Juan de la Cruz. And a century of women pray at the casket before them laid, and the Virgin of Guadalupe watches over De La Cruz.
She actually told Abel, if you want to make a song from it, feel free.
Yeah, so that may be coming there, Norma.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Another song that I think was, you know, it's a song that I grew up with, and I never really knew that it was a song that was sort of the theme song of the movement. It's the song De Colores. Can you talk a little bit how that song sort of ended up being the theme song of the movement?
Well, in the film, Luis Valdez tells the story about how he and Cesar heard a religious group. They went to a meeting, at a church meeting, and the people at the meeting were singing this song. And Cesar remembered it later on and asked Luis Valdez to sing it at UFW meeting.
One day for a Friday night meeting, Cesar asked me, do you remember that song they were singing in Oakland? Down in the basement? And I said, yeah, that was a beautiful song. He says, if I get you the words, could you guys sing it at the meeting tonight? I said, guys, give me the words. And so we got the words and we rehearsed it. And that's how De Colores became the himno del movimiento, okay?
And that's how it began. It's a song that has these very visual elements to it, very positive images, and a very positive feeling melody to it that you don't forget, and it makes you feel good. I know that throughout the 70s, it was not just in the UFW events and meetings, but throughout the Chicano movement, people would sing De Colores. It's a powerful song, and it definitely it became an important part of the movement.
And it's interesting because, like you said, it's a really beautiful, colorful, positive, almost innocent song. And here it is associated with a political movement. And listening to the lyrics and sort of comparing it to the movement, you would think that one doesn't have to do with the other. And it almost goes contrary to perhaps some stereotypes people might have of, you know, the angry Chicanos and the Chicano movement.
For me, I see it as a balance. A balance of the beauty of a movement like that, which is also can be not so beautiful because it's a struggle and the difficulties involved. But then to have a piece like that associated with it, there's a balance because it brings beauty, an overall encompassing beauty. I mean, that's how I see it. And I think the song is beautiful. I love it when the young children sing De Colores like you did in the film there. When the children sing it, it brings a spirit to, you know, young and old.
Well, I would like to know, Abel, how you were able, and you and actually Andres were able, to track down sort of this who's who of musicians and artists to be involved in this documentary. And we have to note that a lot of the people in this film are no longer with us. So can you tell us a little bit, Abel, sort of the background of how are you able to track down so many people to be involved in this film?
You know, it started with approaching the people that I knew in the music world. Say, for example, Tower of Power. We kind of grew up together. We started together back in the day. And that would lead to, well, you should talk to so-and-so. And it was that kind of chain. You know, my history with the music and music world gave me some insights and connections to people that I felt were, well, number one, they were part of it. So really wanted to have them in the film and talk to them about why they were involved and how they were involved. And it was mostly that type of a chain, you know, led one person to another. Or you should talk to so-and-so. Or you ever hear this song? And that was like Graham Nash. I never knew Graham Nash. I had never crossed paths with him. And all of a sudden somebody said, one of the fellows that I was in contact with said, hey, listen to that song, Graham Nash, you know, Field Worker. And I never heard even the song either. And so next thing I know, I'm pursuing Graham Nash's song for our soundtrack. And then that little braver says, hey, would you want to, can we interview you as well and put you in the film? Digging in your fields, pulling up your food, you're the
Every time I sing it, I get the same response because people understand what it's about. They understand it's a fight. Hardworking people have to fight for every scrap, for every dollar in this world.
Treat me like a human is all I have to say. The man that I am working for will let me get away.
So that was kind of the process with the musicians and then the other folks. Well, I had history with the Chavez family because I worked with them since about the 90s on the stamp campaign. I was working with the Postal Service, and I was involved in getting a stamp enactment for Cesar Chavez, the postal stamp. And that's where I connected with the family and the foundation and Paul and Richard Chavez, the whole family. And so that's where my relationship began with the Chavez people.
It has to be said also that everybody that we approached wanted to do the interview. They wanted to be in the film. there was a real positive feeling about expressing themselves and telling their story of their relationship with Sassette and with the farm workers movement.
They were just honored to be associated with Sassette. Their gratitude of being a part of that was such a important movement.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the people who were featured in this film are no longer with us. For example, one of the first voices you hear is Dr. Maya Angelou.
Abel Sanchez and Jorge Santana have added music to a story of Cesar Chavez. Everybody, black and white and Latino and Asian.
Yeah, you guys ready in percussion land?
Native American, all of us, we should have this.
I'm ready, they're ready.
It's a song for Caesar.
When you hear that voice and you see her, you think, oh, she's not with us anymore. And then you see other people like Jorge Santana. He also died about 3 years ago. And towards the end of this film, Andres, you have this really kind of lengthy memoriam to all the people who are no longer with us. And I can't imagine, you know, while you were sort of maybe putting this film together in the editing room and all of a sudden, you know, this person's not here and this person dies. And I can't imagine how really kind of difficult it was for you both to be putting this together and seeing that it might be one of the last times the audience will see these individuals on the screen.
Well, it's, and I'll speak for myself because Abel, I'm sure, will speak about it. But I think that we see this film as part of a legacy that we're leaving. And certainly, I think the artists that participate in the film, they see their work as a legacy to pass on to the next generations, et cetera. So it's kind of a natural process. We're passing this on.
Yes, I think you mentioned Maya Angelou. And, you know, she was pivotal in encouraging us to do the film. I was blessed to know her since about 1970 or so. She used to come to the club we were playing. My band was playing. She really liked my band. I was good friends with her son. And next thing you know, when she saw the pilot that Andres and I put together, a six-minute piece to the song, she wanted to see it. And when she saw that piece, she said, no, you have to do the documentary, because we really weren't going to pursue a documentary at that point. We kind of were happy with the six-minute piece that the foundation was using. But people had said, oh, you should do a full documentary. So I told Maya that's what people were saying. And after she saw the six-minute piece, she told me with direct orders, no, you're going to do that piece. And you don't say no to Maya. You know, I respect her so much. And she said, because that's not just your song. She said, that's my song, too. That's everybody's song.
The screening of A Song for Cesar is going to happen next Tuesday, March 21st at Trinity University. It's going to be in conjunction with the annual Cesar Chavez March for Justice, which happens every year here in San Antonio. It's a pretty big, important march. A lot of community members and a lot of city officials are involved in that as well. What kind of surprises? You already mentioned that there are going to be some special guests at this particular screening. Can you give us a little bit more information about what we can expect when we go see A Song for Cesar?
The film itself, afterwards, we have a panel, a Q&A, and a little interaction with the audience. And that's when, like I say, Little Joe Hernandez will be with us there from La Familia, and Arturo Rodriguez, the past president of the United Farm Workers. And we're working on one or two other guests that's going to join Andres and myself. So we're going to have a nice little panel there to just have an interaction with the audience that may have questions or just want to have some discussion on the legacy and the importance.
And it never fails. There's always somebody or a few people in the audience who have their own stories and who get up and tell really informative and moving stories about their history.
Andres Alegría and Abel Sanchez are co-producers and co-writers of the documentary A Song for Cesar. The film screens Tuesday, March 21st at 6 p.m. Central at Trinity University in San Antonio. See a trailer and a video of outtakes of A Song for Cesar at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marian Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.